Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we've been fighting some technical difficulties here this morning. I don't even know why, but I couldn't even get onto my own show. Thank God for a good webmaster like Jared and technology where he can actually, it's kind of scary, log on to my own computer and do stuff on my own computer. Now, he's only about 800 miles away from me. So, you know, it's really, really amazing. So we are jumping out here, running a little bit late here this morning. But again, it was all on our end, technical difficulties with. We apologize for that. And, man, I just got – I know I say it a lot. I got a lot on my mind, a lot on my heart today. The Lord had me up early this morning. I was up about 4. Just, you know, it was one of those nights when the sheep wouldn't jump. You know, you tried to count them, and just they wouldn't jump. I slept really, really good till about 4 o'clock, and then that's it. My eyes were open. It was time to get up. And I know what the Lord's laid on my heart. I'm looking forward to sharing with you. Hey, thank God for the Iowa huddle. I don't know if David Arthur's in here with us today or Tom Dunn. I watched a video that Tom Dunn made. They had a great time up in Iowa. Denny, anybody in there that could give us some feedback on it? That they had looked to me like, I don't know, maybe 100, 150 people who came for the viewing of it. They had some protesters that showed up. They got to go outside and witness to the protesters. And Tom Dunn made a really nice video about it. So I pray that all David and Tom, I don't think have come home yet. So I pray they're on the road now and safely and had a really, really, really great weekend. We had a great time in Louisville. I'm going to talk about some of that here this morning. And many of you probably saw some of the videos that we made when we were down there. We didn't have a large crowd. We had about 20 of us. We had about 15 probably that came to the hotel and spent the night in the hotel. I want to salute Bobby Lee for all the hard work that F time and effort and energy he put into it. And Mark Trump and watch, I'm going to mess up now. Mark Trump and Mike Heath, they drove all the way. So, folks, some people drove 8 hours for a 3-hour event. Actually, you know, we had a great time of fellowship on Friday afternoon when we all got in there. But the most of the ministry work was done on Saturday morning. And it was really for about three hours. Boy, it's we're going to get into it. It's really, really great. So Mark Trump and Mike Heath, they rode together. And then John Brockoff came with me. Yeah, the Mad Bomber. He jumped in there and rode down there with me. And Craig Alkemeyer and his buddy Jesse came in all the way from Shell Knob, Missouri. That's down by Branson. That's like 12-hour drive. Craig and Jesse drove in. Keith and Becky I. Keith is from down around Marietta, Ohio, and it's the first time he's ever done anything. He and his wife, Becky, they drove in at first timers. Glad to have them. We had, he brought his friend, Dr. Frank. I can't remember Dr. Frank's last name, but Dr. Frank showed up. Bob and Tammy Evans, Bob Evans, not the guy that owns the restaurants, but another Bob Evans. Bob drove all the way from up northeastern Ohio. It was probably about an 8, maybe a 9-hour drive for them. They came down there. They didn't even get in there till late Friday night and just were up there Saturday morning. And boy, old Bob was on fire. God bless you, Bob. God bless you. Bob's on fire. We thank them for being there. OJ and Dorita, they were there, man. They're just, who am I forgetting? Mike. Mike Blake rode with me. Thank you, Michelle. Yana. How could I forget Mike Blake? He rode with me. Mike Blake. So we had us a great crowd, and I'm going to get into some of that stuff and get some feedback on that. It was really, really call your friends and tell them that the coach is about to shatter every gospel, not everyone, a prime gospel truth that they've believed their whole lives. Call somebody right now. Say, listen, you better turn in because coach is going to give a bombshell today. I'm going to do that here. You hang right in there with me. So I thank all those people. I know I forgot somebody. Whoever I forgot, I'm sorry that I forgot you. But it was a great event, and we'll just appreciate it. So when we got there, evidently somebody knew we were coming. I wonder who that would be, right? And they called out all the death squads. There were about, I don't know, 30, 35 maybe 40. What do you think, Mike, Mark, anybody over there? How many death squirts were there? We're going to show you pictures of them, 35 or 40. They had the entire army out. They thought we were going to do another rescue, second year anniversary of the rescue 2 years before. And so they called out all their troops. And so it was really kind of intimidating, especially for Keith and Becky, who'd never done it. And I know that Dorita had never been there. And I'm not sure that Tammy had ever done it. To go to the abortion clinic like that was a pretty amazing thing. And so they thought we were coming. But we'll dive into all that. Listen, don't forget that I'm going to Dallas tomorrow night. Not that most of you probably couldn't care less, but those of you in the Dallas area, I am going to speak at the McKinney, Texas Tea Party. You can find that online. I'm going to do that 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I'm going to be quick in and quick out. Long Island, don't forget. A lot of stuff here. All hands on deck. Listen, folks, you are not registering. You're not registering. I'm trying to make plans here to, you know, get a tent, a lot of different things, and you've not gone online to register, please do that. Say, yeah, coach, we're going to be there. I have a lot of people say, yeah, we're going to be there, coach. Register so we know who you are. We can make arrangements. Going to go to Long Island. This is pretty neat. I don't care if you're interested or not. Can't go to Long Island. Russ Dizdar is doing an intensive hands-on spiritual training workshop in Long Island. We're going to be there, and some of our friends are going to go take the journey with us. A lot of you I know can't go to Long Island, but listen, for $49, you can get the live stream. You have access to it for everything. You get the book that Dizdar is going to use. Plus you get access to all three. I think Mike said the three previous Hear the Watchman events, get access to all that stuff. But if you want to get trained on spiritual warfare, or really how to cast out demons, well, how demons manifest, how to recognize it, just a good nuts and bolts training. Russ Dizdar, that's what he's going to do in New York. So you can get, I think it's $49. I think if you add a code, go to hearthewatchman.com, Hear the Watchman, plural, and you can sign up for that. Going to go to Oregon. That's coming up in, oh my goodness, I just got so much stuff going on. It's all there on our list, okay? I want to dig into something here real quickly because I want to show you some videos. Time out a minute. Mike, give me a little bit of feedback. I salute Mike. Mike kind of joked at me. Mike's been a warrior for the Lord for 25, 30 years, but he's been in hiding. And luckily he's coming out of hiding, getting back engaged in the game. And he drove down, brought Mark Trump with him down there. Mike, just kind of your overview. Mike, by the way, Mike's doing a show at 6 o'clock in the morning right now. Mike Heath Live, same format. How they find that, Mike, and then tell us your reaction a little bit to what to Louisville.
Yeah, folks are interested in. I haven't been really pushing the show yet because I'm doing the whole thing. I'm learning the production back end because I'm going to be Jared's backup for this show, and for he's got other shows for his business. So I'm kind of using myself as a guinea pig. So I'm the host and the producer. That's why the mess up this morning with the audio, and I apologize for that. But I produce, you can go to michaelheath.org if you're interested. And also I produce Coach an email, as you know, each morning, goes out at 6 o'clock. This morning's was entitled The Blood Queen, and I offered my observations on what happened Saturday morning and how I felt being there. I've been to a number of these events, but I cut my teeth in ministry being a lobbyist working within institutional even jellyfish Christianity at the state level for 20 years, fighting the so-called gay rights movement. And now I'm meeting you and being thrown under the bus by institutional Christianity because that happened to me about a decade ago. I was thrown under the bus by sort of big family or big evangelical, if you want to call it that. And the reason was because I had achieved victories against the homosexual ideology in a very public way in the state of Maine. And it really became impossible for me to remain, to hold on to my integrity and sort of back off from standing clearly on the Bible and on Christian principles against, I like to use the word sodomy now, Coach, as you know, but back, mm-hmm. Sexual orientation is the acceptable phrase within institutional Christianity. But it's actually, we're actually talking about sodomy. It's a much more precise and helpful word to our understanding. So, so I'm still getting used to this street stuff. And so, if you read my thing, you'll notice that I compared it to being in a cartoon, being there, because I said to Mark Trump that I was overstimulated by everything that's going on. And here's the, I think the root of why I felt that way. It's this, I mean, the issue at hand here is clearly murder. And here we had almost 100 souls diametrically opposed to one another standing on the street, half of us there to make sure that mothers on Mother's Day could kill their babies, and half of us there to say in Jesus' name that you ought not do that. And everything was at play. There was mockery, there was sarcasm, which I think we don't do enough of from our perspective of the argument. And there was a guy standing next to me, Coach, who was all confused because he'd seen the Unplanned movie, and he came expecting to stand silently with his sign and pray and love his enemies. That was his expectation, that he would come and stand silently and be loving and respectful. And so then that's how we would persuade the mothers not to kill their baby, is by standing there with a sign and being, and so it, the whole, all of that stimulation is what caused me to write what I wrote. And if you're interested, go to michaelheath.org and you can go deeper into some of my insights based on what happened there, Coach.
It was an amazing time though, wasn't it, Mike?
It was. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Every time I've gone, I've been overwhelmed. The first time I went, I mean, I debated this issue sort of theoretically for decades, and I didn't go to the streets and stand there and watch a mother go into one of these places until, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. Changed my life when that happened, when I did that, when mm-hmm. I physically did that. And it'll change your life too if you do it.
Mark Trump, what's your feedback, Mark?
Well, Coach, I'm sitting here listening. It was on Mike's show, but let me set up a little picture. Okay, you're out on the streets and you're concerned about whatever's going on, and somebody comes along with a litter of puppies, and one by one they take those puppies out and they stomp on their heads. Are you going to sit there and watch that, Coach?
Mm. 24 of them Saturday morning. 24
of them. So people can't relate to a human. That happening to a human. They just can't process the difference. But I tell you what, if it was a bunch of kittens and you had someone dressed up in a little white outfit and they were yanking a kitten's head off right in front of people, what would we do? Would we grab our phones and film it? What would we do? No, we'd get mad.
Right.
We get mad, say, what in the world are you doing? Stop it. Stop stomping on the puppies. Why aren't we that way with children, Coach? The blood queen prancing around there, proud as can be, proud as a peacock of her minions, her Uruk-hai warriors slaying little innocent children. The skinny jeans men out there calling themselves men with their beards and buttons. They ain't men. It takes a man to stand up. Men don't beat on women. Men don't kill children. Men don't attack the innocent. Coach, it dismayed me. And I was with that family that Mike was talking about, the father. His son came over and talked to me about being nice. We can't represent Jesus that way. I said, hold on now. I said, John called the Pharisee serpents and vipers evil. He used words like that. That's biblical. I was telling his son that.
Matthew 23. Go ahead, Mark.
Amen. And men flipped over the table. Jesus flipped over the tables in the temple. And we know that Jesus, if he was there with us, Coach, if Jesus was right there in the flesh with us, would he have been upset? Or would he have been holding a sign going, love, love, love?
Well, he was there with us. He was inside Amen. Of us. Why weren't we more upset? That's the question, right? Because in our mind we can't conceive of what's going on behind those closed doors. We just can't believe that's happening, Mark. And I know Bob Evans, not the restaurant guy, but I know Bob. I watched Bob. His visceral, in other words, you could see it. His reaction to those girls going in there and killing his babies. I saw something come out of Bob I'd never seen before. And let me move to something here, Mark. I said Matthew 23 because this is leading me to something. That's why we're going to Chappaqua too, folks. Yeah, we're going to go to Chappaqua. No, we're not backing down on this. Here's my big announcement. Because I as I told you, I was up 4 o'clock this morning. Jared's got Matthew 23 up there in front of me. I Googled at Mark, Mike, everybody that's watching right now. I want you to know this. You can do the exact same thing. I Googled today, spent about 20 minutes Googling. Where does the Bible say that Jesus loves everybody? I'm still Googling. Because that's all we hear at the clinic. And God bless people. God bless them. I'm not being critical of them. But I'm a realist. And I think if Jesus loves everybody, it would say it in the Bible. Now, we know the song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And everybody, we repeat these things that, sorry, having a hard time finding. And so when I get out there, and I'm going to show a couple videos here, and I rebuke the wicked, which I'm going to show you that in Ezekiel 3. When I rebuke the wicked, the Christians think I'm mean. They think we're mean. But I want you to show that I'm in Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. He said, you listen to all those guys, but you don't do after their works. For he said, you can listen to their words, but don't you do what they do. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them one of their fingers. But all the works they do for to be seen of men, but they make their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uttermost rooms at feasts. He's talking about people. He's trash-talking people. Make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greeting the markets. They love to be called pastor, and father. Know ye not, you call rabbi, for one is your, don't call him by rabbi, don't call him by father. There's not no master, only Christ. And call no man your father, for one is your father, and he's in heaven. But we know that he called people what? Brood of vipers, whitened sepulchres, full of all dead men's bones and all corruptions. Jesus was not, but woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, verse 13. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Imagine Jesus standing out and saying this, not just to people standing on the street, but to the pastors. He's saying this to the pastors. He's not telling them how much he loves them. But woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Jesus talking to people.
Amen.
For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe to you! Not, I love you, I'll come to me, I love all of you. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. You fools, he says, blind guides! What's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? What's better, being nice to people or rescuing babies? Which is nicer and better in the eyes of the Lord? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is on the altar, he's guilty. You fools! Blind! Oh, my goodness, folks.
This is red letter, Coach. What?
Red letter stuff, man. It's red letter stuff. Now, I'm gonna really sink your boat, Jared. Go to Psalm 5, please. Psalm 5. Making some of you nervous. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you. You Google it. You Google it and you find it for me. You find the verse where it says Jesus loves everybody. You find the verse, you send it to me, and I'll send you a hat. And I'll make you the star of the show, and I'll let you come on and explain to everybody. You Google the Bible and find one place where it says Jesus loves everybody. You find, no, no, God so loved the world, he doesn't say the people of the world, God so loved the world. Are you going to find that we loved him because he first loved us? Talking about saved people. Are you ready? You sitting down? I'm going to lay two things on there. You can believe the Bible or you cannot believe the Bible. Okay? Hey, I have the love of God. I have the love of God. I offer the love of God to everybody. But you better quit throwing it around. Hang on. You ready? Verse Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. Hey, guys, you believe David's telling the truth here? David was a psalmist. Do you believe that this is biblical scripture? I'll believe it. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. David said, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to hear me. And I will direct my prayer unto you. And I'm going to look up, Lord. I'm going to pray and we'll look up. Stay with me. Verse 4. For you're not a God that has pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in your sight. Look at this. Jared, get your underliner out, Jared. For thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Wait. Wait. You shall destroy them that speak leasing. You, Lord, will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. You guys see this? We just throw this out of the Bible. So I went to my Strong's Concordance. I went to my Strong's Concordance today, thanks to John Brockhoff, who showed me how to do this. And I looked up worker of iniquity. Uh-oh, boys. You know what a worker of iniquity is? Someone who is proud in their sin, boastful. God hates those who parade proudly and boldly their sin. I'm sorry, I'm just reading what the Bible says. But hey, let me top this off just with one more thing here before we get to some other stuff. Jared, pull up Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Hey, my offer stands. Somebody show me where it says Jesus loves everybody, and I will send you a hat. Jared, go to verse 17. I, get your marker out, Jared. I love them that love me. So when you walk out into an abortion clinic where there are 40 people dressed in orange and you tell them that Jesus loves them, you are misrepresenting the gospel. They are enemies of the cross. Help me out, Larry. Somebody help me out here. I feel like I'm out on a limb. I'm just reading what the Bible says. That's all I'm doing. I'm just reading what it says. Somebody help me. Why do we want to go tell people how much Jesus loves them when he didn't say it?
Bingo, coach. You are actually damaging their opportunity to become Christians when you tell them that, and it's a lie, and they trust in your lie. They never seek for the truth. So going out and telling people Jesus loves you is damaging to the kingdom of God.
Who does he love, Larry, according to what I just read? I love them that love me.
Yeah, there's three places I think where it talks about God currently loves, present tense. He loves those who are obedient, those who are his, and those who love him.
Ezekiel 3, Jared. Go ahead. Somebody else tried to come in here. Ezekiel 3, Jared. Was that you, Dale? Somebody tried to come in?
I've been called a literalist, coach, when I read the Bible. They say, you're a literalist. You're hyper-literal.
Yeah.
Stop being hyper-literal, coach.
That's right. I'm called narrow-minded, and I absolutely love it, because wide is the path to death, hell, and destruction, but narrow is the gate, and yet in that, only few will find it. There is a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and those are those ones, many of them, are people who have heard Jesus loves you. Amen. No, they don't love Jesus. They don't love Jesus. They're not identified with Christ.
They mock him. They mock him. Ezekiel 3, verse 13, okay? Here's what I did on Saturday. I don't apologize for it. am I in the right place? No. My Ezekiel 3, 13. Ezekiel 3, 17, Jared. 17, I'm sorry. Son of man, I've made you a watchman of the house of Israel, to the church. Therefore, hear the words of my mouth and give them warning for me. Who? Give who warning? Who am I supposed to warn?
The wicked.
Son of man, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you don't warn them, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. I need to tell him how wicked he is, not how much God loves him. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I'm going to require at your hand. But yet if you warn that wicked dude, and he doesn't turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, and he dies in his sin, you've delivered your own. You've done your job. If you go warn him, and he doesn't come to Christ, you've done your job. When a righteous man does turn from his righteousness, commits sin, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him a warning, shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood I'm going to require from your hand. You're not supposed to go tell him how much Jesus loves him. You're supposed to go tell him how much God's angry with them every day if they don't get in line with him. He loves those who love him. The family! Go ahead.
Hey, you can add a little bit of truth to that. God wants to love everybody.
Absolutely. It's available. It's available to everybody.
Coach, here's a hypothetical. And brother, this is something that I've always wrestled with out in front of those abortion clinics. Imagine the bricks of those buildings being glass. And you could literally look in and see them chopping these babies up. Would you then just be taking and holding a sign and praying? I mean, when you visually see, like what Mark was iterating with, if they were doing this to puppies on the sidewalk, I'm saying they're chopping these babies up into little pieces. If those bricks were glass, what would we do then?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Probably the same thing, Dale, because it's lawful, right? It's legal. It's lawful. So, Jared, go to my Facebook page. I'm going to show you some stuff.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Mark.
If you go to Google and you type in Louisville abortion, that center comes up. If you go to the procedures that they do, it actually talks about what they do and the process they go through with the babies. People read that before they go. And it's just an abomination that we allow that to happen. Think about a vet. If they said, we will kill the puppies of your dog, and this is how we do it, and they're going to publish it right there for you to read. It's absolutely, we are so far off track, Coach, to be publicizing how we murder, the right steps that they take, the way they expand the cervix, and the tools they use. It's right there on the website. And we allow it, Coach. We allow it. I totally agree with what Dale's saying. If those bricks were glass and we could see, you know, they're in there 4 hours for two times to do a full-term abortion. 4 hours they go in there and sit. In other words, Coach, we left 9, 10 o'clock. Do you know those women were laying in there in misery, probably crying out, wishing they hadn't made that decision, and we left, Coach.
That's right. We did. We did. So OJ Eastwood's granddaughter, Emma, make this. I have signs up on the screen right now. It's so powerful. She made it. Listen, folks, understand this. OJ was asleep. His wife said all he wanted to do was fish. That's all he wanted to do. And then somehow the Lord hooked him, and now he doesn't even want to fish anymore. All he wants to do is stand up and speak up for the Lord. He's passing the salt. He passed this on to his grandchildren, and his daughter, senior in high school, I believe, Emma, made this for a senior project or a class project. How much damage can one abortion do? She says, if my pa, that's your grandpa, my grandpa had been killed in his mother's womb, it would have been a total loss of 70 lives. 70 lives. One man, her grandpa, had four kids, and those four kids had 14 grandkids. those 14 grandkids had 39 great grandkids, and those 39 great grandkids had 12 grandkids, total of 70 people not here as a result of one abortion. It's amazing. What an amazing visual that is. I've said all along, when you have an abortion, you don't kill a baby, you kill a lineage.
Coach, we can all make this sign about our own, maybe our own father or our grandfather ourselves, and we can show ourselves, we can all carry this sign and let our own lineage be seen when we go out. I'm going to make a sign for my own father, and my number is about 70 also.
Mm-hmm. So Randy, the woman making the choice to eliminate 70 lives. Well, this is still going on, right? I mean, those great-grandkids are going to have kids. A woman, my body, my choice. It isn't. It's a lineage. Hey, folks, I don't know if you're ready for this. You ready for a mic drop? When you're pregnant, you've already reproduced. Reproduction doesn't come when you're born. You've already reproduced. The birth control pill prevents reproduction. Abortion kills what's already been reproduced. Come on, man. Wake up here. Jared, scroll on down. Oh, this is good today. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got Chappaqua all over my mind. I want to talk about. There she is. There's the woman. There she is. Bloody Mary. There she is. Wow, Death Queen. Mike called her. Craig called her. Abmeyer. Craig called. Thanks for coming, Craig. Scroll on down, Jared, because I want people just to get a feel for it. I'm going to play one show. I'm not going to play all the videos. There's about five of them. Oh, boy, I could play her video. This is she's Rosemary's out trying to rescue black babies. Go on down, Jared. I got just so much stuff I can show you, but I want to show you a good one here. Oh, there's another good one. We'll get to that in a second. Oh, I got so much today. Oh, that's another one. Go on down, Jared. I got a million stuff to talk about today. The battle's raging right in front of us. All we have to do is wake up and stand up and fight. So here's what I'm getting at. We get there and got all these death squads standing out there in their orange, and they're going down. I could use that one, going down. And there's OJ and Dorita. And I just start preaching to them. I don't know which one it is. Is this it? Keep going, Jared. Going down, Jared. Let's try that one. No, not that one. I'm sorry, guys. Let's try this one, Jared. See what's on.
Spencer Saturday morning, standing out here, not getting. Spencer Saturday morning.
Sorry, folks. I've been so busy here.
They move it ahead. Go out there and walk out there and rebuking these people.
Take your baby. We'll adopt your baby. Your baby's going to look just like your daughter. She's beautiful.
Okay, I want you to see this. This is a woman going into the abortion clinic. And we're trying to, they can see, just start it right there, Jared. Here she comes walking down the street. See the orange vest. Here she comes. There's Bob. Bob's getting ready to pounce.
We'll adopt your baby. We'll adopt your baby. We'll adopt your baby. We'll take your baby. We'll adopt your baby. Your baby's going to look just like your daughter. She's beautiful. Beautiful.
Jared, go to the other video. Folks, I got videos of about six or seven people walking in there like that. I want you to see the face of the enemy and understand these are workers of iniquity, all right? These are workers of iniquity. These are not people that are in a loving relationship with our Savior. These people are not. A loving relationship is available to them, but it's not. Can you go? Let's go on back and pick another video, Jared. I want to do the one where I first start and I'm rebuking people because I heard people say, oh, you're so mean. They're never going to come to Jesus. You're so mean. Maybe this is it. Try that one. No. Yeah, that'll. I don't know. That's not the first one. Go back down. Back down. Somebody can come in here if you want to. Go on down. People keep no, go on down. That might be it. Live, that's it. Go ahead, Jared. Now, Jared, forward a little bit ahead. Do I start walking down here talking to you? Rebuking these wicked people. Out of love, I go down and I begin to rebuke these wicked people. Go ahead, Jared.
if you're one of those people that think that it's just all the gospel's just love, 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 just bear with me here a second, okay? Are you guys, before I get rolling down through here, trying to grab everything, seeing everybody that's weighing in here on my screen, where did I put my glasses? There it is. Hey, Portia, if the vibe, we'll give us, I'm just going to start telling the truth here as we walk down through here. They're probably going to get mad, all right? Here we go. Let's flip this around. Here's my old buddy John Brockhoff out here with us holding a sign. And folks, when we showed up here early this morning, Bobby Lee's the one that's organized this event down here. Here's Bobby Lee standing here in the red. When we got here, I wanted to see all these people that are out here. These are called death squirts. It says, it says clinic volunteers. Like, these people are not clinic volunteers. These people are accomplices to murder. That's what they are. I want you to see them all here. Standing out here. These women are proud. They're proud to be out here as young babies are being murdered inside. Here's the clinic. Okay, right there. Look at that. We're all the pro-life. We're all the people who want to stand for life. Right? And truth be told, many of these are many of these don't even like men. These are men who they take pride in seeing babies die. Come out of this grandmother right there. She's old enough to be a grandmother, somebody's grandmother, and she's here and watching babies be killed because she has so much anger in her heart because of the way men treat her. Men mistreated her a long time ago, so she hates men and comes out. Some man deserted all these women. Look at them. Right here, they are. Many of them, many of these are lesbians. And why they're out there to defend when this Holocaust, abortion is beyond me. You think he would know better?
Good old man. Look at that old man. Jared, you can stop it. Stop it. So, folks, somebody help me here. Mike, you were there. Mark, you were there. Should I be walking up telling every one of these people how much Jesus loves them? Jesus loves you. Oh, you're out here standing, killing baby, Jesus loves you so much. Is that a true statement, Mike?
You should tell them what the Holy Spirit is leading you to tell them. And you've made the case this morning that rebuking them is the most reasonable thing to say to them. That's the most reasonable message to give to these people, is you need to repent. And
Somebody else. Come on. Go ahead.
Coach, the one that I love that you said yesterday, you told that one guy, he said, look at this guy. He's standing out here because his wife told him to.
Yeah, he was an old gray-haired guy. I thought you had gray hair. You were supposed to be wise. What happened to that? Wise man.
Hey, Coach.
Here's something.
Coach, real quick. I was standing around the corner with my Malachi sign and up the sidewalk toward the corner. Well, as I was standing there, a guy come by and flipped me the bird and yelled at me, F you, and he kept driving. And I looked back behind me toward the corner, and there you came shooting like a lightning bolt from in front of the clinic with your pointing your finger and going at this guy very assertively and arguing with him through his passenger window, and he was two lanes away.
Mm.
And I thought, well, there's the coach leading from the front. Thank the Lord he's here.
Amen. Jared, get Proverbs 27 up real quick. Come on in.
Yeah, coach, this is something the Lord showed me.
Go ahead, Dale. Then George.
Okay. Brother, this is prophetic. You know, I shared about the Easter, the Ishtar thing. What caused people from going from saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, when he was entering in Jerusalem, to crucify him? And when you go to Matthew chapter 21, all through 28, there was a paradigm shift. Jesus went from just healing people, and it began to be the full-on assault of rebuking. And it's chapter after chapter after chapter. And the people turned on him. And brother, in the last days, I believe that we're living in those last days where then all of a sudden we're seeing the lines drawn in the sand, brother. I saw that on that sidewalk in that video just now. And as many years as I've been out there, it's like the goats are being put to the right and the sheep are being put to the left, brother. And let me tell you what, in the last days, this is what Jesus did in his last days of ministry on the earth. He was rebuking. He was rebuking. And brother, this is what I'm seeing. This is the call now for people to repent. Otherwise, they too will perish in their sin.
Amen. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Hang on, George. Jared, you got a marker there for those people who don't understand? Huh? 27:5, Jared. 27:5. Get your marker out. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Come on in, George.
And verse 6.
And verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Oh, I could go on and on. Bible's so rich. Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, I remind myself of the difference between sin and iniquity. You know, sin is breaking the law. Iniquity is where our government officials make the licensing of sin legal. So we have to remember, when God says, I hate the workers of iniquity, it's even deeper than just the individual sinner. And just like Abby Johnson in the movie Unsaved, you know, she was a sinner, a big sinner, and she came to realize the truth. So we have to remember that this licensing of sin, that's why, you know, you've said on the show that when a government official commits a crime, if they steal a pencil, it's going to be a much more severe punishment for them than if I steal a pencil.
As Amen. A citizen. Amen.
So I think it's important to remember, when Jesus was talking, you brood of vipers, you den of, you know, all the things he called them.
Whitened sepulchres, full of dead men's bones.
He was talking to an institution. He was talking to those that made sin legal. He absolutely hates that. But he does love the sinner. We're all sinners until we come to a knowledge of Christ. But there is a difference. Right.
As we saw today, who does God love? He loves those who love him. Folks, we are giving a false message to the lost. It's a false message. Again, I got a hat for anybody that can, even right now, you can text me right now. Any of you, show me where it says God loves everybody. Show it to me, and I'll fall in line, and I'll obey that. I know this. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, but he didn't love me till I was adopted into his family. That's the way I read it. Why do we tell people that God loves them when the Bible doesn't say that he does?
Hey, Coach.
Larry.
You know, Christ died for the sinners, right?
Yes.
Why did he die for them? So he could love them. He doesn't love them till they come to him.
Amen.
He died for them so he could love them, not because he does love them.
Coach, a lot is stressed on the age of grace. Grace, grace, grace. Grace and love and love and grace. But Paul wrote from where? Where did he write most of those letters?
From jail.
Well, how did he get in jail, Coach? Grace? How did he get in jail? Look, all of the disciples died professing Jesus. Paul's point is not grace, grace, grace necessarily. It's to go out like he did. Go out and speak the word. Go out and be persecuted. You know, this makes people really uncomfortable that believe in grace and love and all this. But Paul was in jail. And listen to this. He ran away from it for years until he was convicted, until somebody smacked him around and said, you got to go. Jesus said, go. And when he went, what happened to him? He started speaking out like the end of Matthew, like Dale's saying, when Jesus started being persecuted. So people, if you're not being persecuted, like Paul, who got put in jail, then what are you doing? What are you doing?
Mike Spaulding put into the chat Proverbs 29:1. Are you listening, folks? A man who hardens his neck after much reproof. Yeah, get it up there, Jared, so they can read it. 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Oh. Hang on just a second. Hang on. Okay. When I was a football coach, I was the head coach, meaning I was the boss. But we had assistant coaches. My good buddy, old Coach Norm, he coached all the linemen. And I left all the linemen up to him. He could coach them and do whatever. You know, you coach them, man. You're the coach. And they answered to Coach E. They always did. But when one kid was having particular trouble, he wasn't blocking right or whatever, he was causing some trouble, I would tell Coach E, I'd walk by Coach E, and I'd say, hey, Coach, I'm going to go eat up Andre. And Coach E knew that when I went and ate up Andre. In other words, when I got in his face and I rebuked him for the way he was practicing, Coach Norm knew then to come to Andre with love. You understand? If you don't get this, you're not going to get it. I came in and I upset the apple cart, and then Coach E came along and he cleaned it up.
Good cop, bad cop.
He restored that young man after I had given him the rebuke that he deserved. And I gave him the rebuke he deserved because I loved him. And then Coach Norm came along and loved him back as well. Folks, this is biblical. This is scriptural. Was that George trying to come in? Somebody come on. Well, that was you.
That's real good what you just said. Mark Trump made a good point. How I've come to understand grace is just simply God's ability. So by grace, you've been saved. So by God's ability, you've been saved. I think the point Paul's making is we can't earn our way to salvation. It's only God's ability to save us. So grace isn't this do whatever you want and there's no consequence. That I know is modern teaching and very popular. But I think in terms of it as God's ability. I have no ability, Coach, whatsoever, zero, to save myself, nor does anyone else.
Amen, brother. Has anybody found where Jesus loves everybody yet? I'm still waiting. Go ahead, Rog.
What is the biblical definition of grace?
Okay, I was just getting into that, Roger. The Bible, everybody says the Bible dictionary that man has put together calls grace God's unmerited favor, but the Bible does not present it that way. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith, and that the faith is not of yourselves, but the free gift of God. To each man is given the measure of faith. It doesn't say each man is given grace. If grace was truly unmerited, then everybody on the face of the earth doesn't merit it, and everybody would receive grace, and everybody would go to heaven, and that's a stinking lie.
Amen.
Love, love, love.
Coach, yes. This is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
The clinic that we go to down here, birth mill doctor went down to 5 days a week. And Thursday when we was out there, we had, we usually average about 20 people a day as well. But what I found that shocked me, and I've interacted with a lot of blacks and white ladies, but we had Gothic people come out. We had like two sets of Gothic kids, already dressed in black and purple hair and green hair. And the two men came up to us and they said, well, God forgives us. Jesus forgives us for it. I said, just like what you're saying, God and Jesus rebukes you what you're doing, killing children.
God is angry with the wicked every day.
Yes, sir. He does not forgive you for killing children. And just like you, we were hollering with the top of our voice trying to talk to these men. And they were running up and down the park a lot, hollering and screaming. And this is during working hours, on Thursday.
Right.
But my first experience, I've been doing this for 3 years, and this dealing with the Gothic and the Satanists was huge.
Well, it's because the dark side's getting more and more bold. Matt Tice, did you want to come in? I see your microphone's open.
Well, yeah, just I was just going to comment on your God loves everybody thing. Probably the most profound, biggest lie ever told to people. There's more people that have gone to hell over that particular statement than Adolf Hitler could have ever put into gas chambers. And that's one of the things. It's got to change. We got to get the message out to people that, like Larry and many others have said, you know, that the opportunities are, when you see those three great scriptures, John 14, 15, and 21 and 23, those are the conditions. That's what we have to do in order to have God love us.
Jared, Matthew
14, 15, which talks about the Holy Spirit coming to us, and then 21 and 23. And you can't find a church talking about those scriptures.
Amen. Come on in, Randy. Jared, go to Matthew 7.
Coach, John 16, 8 says, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he's the one here, when he will convict the world of sin and judgment and righteousness. Okay, the word convict means to declare one is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we say to a sinner, Jesus loves them, are we declaring them guilty, or are we giving them a way off the hook, to get off the hook? We need to declare, you are guilty. You need God. He will love you when you come to him. He does not love you like this.
Amen, Randy. Jared, go to 23 and verse. Go to verse 23. Now, folks, listen. Come on, think with me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? I lost it, Jared. And in thy name, have we not cast out devils in your name? Haven't we done all these minutes? Weren't we saved, Lord? Weren't we saved? This is saved people! People who think they're saved. This is not those wicked people standing at the death pit, okay? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I thought he loved them. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock.
Well, Coach, we talked about this before, and you understand, you have your master's degree in English. These people that were professing to Jesus and engaging in this conversation, Jesus, they said, did we not do these things? Those are all past tense. Then Jesus identifies with what they're doing right then at that moment. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. And then he goes right into that. Those who keep and those who do are like those who build their house upon the rock. Those who are continuing in this work, that's part of that grace. Romans 6 says this, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be so.
Amen. Folks, listen. I extend the love of Christ to everybody, but I don't tell everybody that Jesus loves them. I was as lost a guy as you could ever find. I was lost. Oh, I was so lost. I was an enemy of the cross. I thought I was saved. I thought I was a saved guy. I didn't even know what it means. Excuse me. It means to be saved, but I thought I was a Christian. I was as lost as I could possibly be till somebody told me the truth about my life. They didn't tell me how much God loved me, because I already knew that. I'd already heard how much he loved me. He loved me so much I could continue to sin and do all that kind of stuff. Yeah, God loves me. I have an advocate with the Father because I'm a Christian, right? Right? And it was when God showed me, opened up the book and showed me my dastardly self, then I knew I needed a Savior. The Bible says it's the law that's the schoolmaster that drives him to Christ. Not the love that drives him to Christ. It's not the love that drives him to Christ. Love can. Concern for somebody can. That helps build a relationship. But it's the law, realizing that you're wicked, that drives you to the need of a Savior. And if we're out constantly telling people how much God loves them, we are misrepresenting the gospel. Because again, I got a hat for anybody can tell me one place where the Bible says that God loves everybody or Jesus loves everybody.
Coach, what you just said, we become the false advocate. We become the false advocate. And I want to tell you something, brother, that is a dangerous place to be, to just go around and telling people that Jesus loves them when Jesus was the one who became the propitiation for our sin.
Is Dale, isn't it amazing that the ones who want to tell us, we Christians, that we're supposed to love everybody are the ones that aren't saved? Have you noticed that? Go to my Facebook page and read some of my dialogue.
Amen, back and Coach.
Forth. Some of my dialogue back and forth regarding the cross-dressing teacher. Read the dialogue from those kids. They're all telling me how Christians are supposed to behave. Isn't it amazing? And it's love, love, love. Because why? See, because sometimes God's love hurts. An open rebuke is better than secret love. They want secret love. They don't want an open rebuke. When you give them an open rebuke, they say, "Ah, you're hateful. You don't love. Jesus loves everybody, but you don't. You are hateful. You're not a good Christian because he loves everybody and you don't." Don't you see the deception? Don't you see how the message is being lost and missed? It's warning the Amen. Wicked that drives them to the Lord. Building a relationship with them, certainly. But I didn't go down there to build a relationship. I went down Amen. There to warn the wicked.
Amen.
And you know, Coach, the environment that was there, this wasn't, oh, I'm sitting at a dinner table in a restaurant and engaging in a conversation. Brother, this is Caesarea Philippi, the very gates of hell. And brother, mm-hmm. in that, there, it's a battle and it is on.
Okay, folks, the last thing I want to show you today, I'm about almost there. Jared, go to this says under God removed. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. This is why we're going to Chappaqua. I'll talk more about Chappaqua tomorrow. We got to get the word out on Chappaqua. Folks, have you seen this? I know you probably haven't. Watch this exchange. You think we're one nation under God? You think so? Watch this. Go ahead, Jared.
Alphonse now. One nation under Democrat demolition. Did you know?
When they're in the Congress, you'll see them. Right there. Start it right there.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief? Great. Thank you. Let the record show the witness.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I think we left out the phrase, so help me God.
We did.
Could we have the witnesses do it again for the record?
No. Yeah, they want to do it, but some of them don't want to do it. And I don't think it's necessary, and I don't like to assert my will over other people.
Well, it goes back to our founding history. It's been part of our tradition for more than two centuries, and I don't know that we should abandon it now. Could I ask the witnesses if they would choose to use the phrase?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Nadler.
If any witness objects, he should not be asked to identify himself. We do not have religious tests for office or for anything else, and we should let it go with that.
Can you stop it, Jared? They lied to us, folks. Do you see how they lied to us? Gerald Nadler is of his father, the devil. And I want to tell you something. God doesn't love
That's
Gerald.
Job of the Hutt.
God does not love Gerald Nadler. I'm sorry. God's love is available to Gerald Nadler, but God doesn't love him. There's no way that he does. And neither does the other guy who said that he doesn't want to exert his will. He doesn't like to exert his will on other people. Yet he spends his whole job exerting his will on other people. Stuff that makes it enrages me.
Amen, Coach.
Stuff that enrages me. Oh boy, oh boy. Well, hey, I got a lot more to talk about today. We got to get going. Thanks to Michael Roach at Before It's News for putting us up there every day and streaming us live. Michael, God bless you. We thank you for that. I got a lot to talk about. Chappaqua, we're gearing up on that. Matt's working behind the scenes. Mark's working behind the scenes. We got guys working behind the scenes. Join us in Chappaqua. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. God bless you.